This says two themes of the conference have been love and unity. On the one hand, I've heard about how we should be able and desire to love all true Christians. On the other, I've heard the comment here, quote, maybe 10% of Arminians are truly saved, unquote. Question, is that love? Is the Reformed application of the teachings on love and unity limited to the Reformed family? Can you discuss love and unity between Arminians and Calvinists in light of the doctrinal differences, either being unto salvation or not unto salvation? What I would say here, this statement of maybe 10% of Arminians are truly saved, it's very likely you could say the same thing about Calvinists. The reason that this kind of statement is made is because we live in a day when the vast majority of professing evangelicals are Arminian. And there was a day right here in New England when the vast majority of professing evangelicals were Calvinists, and they were just as dead and just as lost as a vast number of professing Arminians, professing Christians in our day. It doesn't have anything to do with that. A person can be he can be completely doctrinally sound and be lost. He can love doctrine. A lot of men, a lot of pastors have loved to argue the points of Calvinism and so on that are completely lost. So our fellowship is centered around whether men really love Christ and love His truth and His word. And many times the differences between a Calvinist and an Arminian are theoretical things. And I would say that if a man truly believes that his salvation is attributed to himself, then yes, he's not a Christian. And Arminianism, if it was really believed with the life, would mean that the person wasn't a Christian. Let me give you an example. Charles Wesley, who was an Arminian, whenever he wrote his hymns, this is the kind of thing he said. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray, a life-giving ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. No Calvinist could have written that any better than that.
Amen.
And see what that is, he's expressing there the realities of his heart. No true Christian would get on their knees and say, Lord, I thank you for doing your part, but I know you're trying to do your part for everybody, and I'm the one that really made the difference. Nobody would ever say that if they really know the Lord. And so I think Charles Hodge said it like this. He said, we look at the hymns and the prayers of people to see where their hearts really are. Not when they're arguing and discussing theology and they get off into all these theoretical areas. Look at what they're saying in their prayers. Look at what they're saying in their praises and hymns to God. And that'll all be the same. There'll be unity between. And so what we look for is godly men. Sorry. I remember a time years ago when I was around a group of guys who were all solid in doctrine and as cold as they could be. And I have known in my life godly Arminians who were 10 times further along with God than I was. And I remember writing in one of my notebooks, oh God, put me with men of a burning heart, not cold, carnal doctrinarians. And so this idea that, you know, this is not the dividing area. The dividing area has to do with truly knowing the Lord, truly being regenerate. Somebody asked Whitfield, do you think you'll see Wesley in heaven? And he said something to the effect of, maybe not. He'll probably be so close to the throne that I won't be able to get near to him. Now, that's the right attitude. And, of course, Wesley preached at his funeral. So I hope that...